So the first part of my homily today will be talking about day two of the Advent mission that happened last Tuesday, the 3rd of December. And the topic was about the Vatican II. And the second part of today's scripture will be about the scripture readings. So it was 1958. Pope John the 23rd was elected. He wasn't their first choice. He wasn't their second choice. He was their 11th choice. He was considered an outlier. He was advanced in age. He was 76. He was well-liked, and he didn't have any enemies. He was seen as a compromise with the different factions of the College of Cardinals. Well, he was short, he was fat, he was less formal, and he was easygoing. But he was humble, he was prayerful, and he was quickly to lighten the mood with a joke. So they have the vestments ready when the Pope is elected, so he has some popely vestments to go out to make his first appearance. They had long ones for the tall guys, short one for the short guys, and they had a stout ones for the fatter guys. So they put on the vestment for him, and he stood before the mirror, and he started laughing. He says, "We're going to need bigger vestments than these." The cardinals thought that he would only be a pope for a few years, and that he would keep the status quo. Well, 3 months later, he announced that he's going to convene a council of the church known today as Vatican II. Surprise, surprise. It lasted from 1962 to 1965. Vatican II renewed the Constitution of Sacred Liturgy. The vote was 2,200, 4 and 4 against. At this point, the church in France and some of the countries, only women were attending the church. Before Vatican II, the Mass was always said in Latin. They needed to restore what was lost from the early church after the apostles, apostolic age. Liturgy of the Hours was created to ensure that there was someone in the church that was always praying. And our prayers are to God, and He prays for us at Mass. And at the same time, heaven is also praying with us. So some traditions needed to be changed. For example, the deacons were removed in the 1200s, and they didn't come back until about 1970. There was a need for noble simplicity and active participation in basic acclamations by the laity. In 1970, the new Mass was approved. And if you want to know some more about it, Chapter 2 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church is a good place to look. Now, the second part of my homily today is about the condition of the heart. I think too many times people were thinking, there must be some formula that we can follow that we can make us holy and lead us to the kingdom of God. And so sometimes we think, well, if we pray this way, maybe get up in the morning and have this kind of prayer. Or maybe we do that in the evening and we do it in sincerity when we're praying to God. Perhaps meditation on the Holy Spirit will be the way. Those may all be good ways to pray. But each of us has to find our own relationship with God. And we have to find out what works for us. Psalm 51 tells us that God will not spurn a contrite heart. So that's really what I'd like to talk about, is the condition of our hearts. So I'm not talking about a physical condition with our hearts, I'm talking about a spiritual condition. So people were coming to John the Baptist and they were wanting to know, well, what should we do? Should we do this? Should we do that? And John tells them things that they could do or should do, but instead they should have been looking at their own hearts to where God has already written himself, and that's how they should determine how they should act. And John was baptizing all that wanted repentance for their sins. And at that time, the only people who were being baptized were the Gentiles who were coming into the faith, and he would baptize them for the cleansing of their sins. But the Jews thought, we're Jews, we don't need that type of thing. But John was still baptizing the Jews who would come to him because they realized that they too had sinned and need forgiveness of their sins. So as an example, in Matthew's chapter 21, there was a parable of the two sons. The father tells his two sons, I want you to go out and work in the vineyard today. And the first son says, no, I'm not going. Second son says, yes, I'll go. The first son changed his mind and he went out to work. The second son, who said, yeah, I'll go, he never went. The condition of their hearts caused them to obey or disobey. Simply put, they were either in line or they were out of line with God's will. So if we look at the contrast between Jesus' mother Mary and John the Baptist's father Zechariah, the archangel tells Mary that she will conceive and bear a son. And she's questioning him, how can this be since I've never been with a man? The purity of Mary and the condition of her heart causes Gabriel to explain to her how that would happen. On the other hand, we have Zechariah, a priest who served in the temple twice a year for a week. And he was married to Elizabeth, who was Mary's cousin. While Zechariah was serving in the temple, the archangel Gabriel comes to him and tells him that your wife is going to have a child. And he kind of looks at Archangel Gabriel and said, my wife is barren and we are old. We're beyond childbearing age. So because of Zechariah's unbelief, he was unable to speak from that day until John the Baptist was born. So both Mary and Zechariah questioned the archangel Gabriel, but Mary was praised and reassured while Zechariah was punished. So it's not always what we say, but how we say it and how we act due to the condition of our hearts. So what was the condition of John the Baptist's heart? John was telling the people that one much greater than himself is coming. He says, I'm not even worthy to remove the sandals of his dusty feet, those holy dusty feet that marched up to Calvary for the removal of our sins. There's an old Jewish teaching that said a disciple would do anything for the master, anything except remove his sandals. That job was left to the lowliest of the master's slaves. So John was really telling them that he was not even worthy to be the slave of Jesus. So what do you think was the condition of John the Baptist's heart? So in this Advent season, we are anticipating the coming of Christ. So seek him with your heart, where God has already written himself. St. John of the Cross tells us that Jesus is like a rich mine containing many pockets with hidden treasures, heavenly treasures. And the more we dig, the more pockets we find. They are never ending. And St. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2 that in Christ are hidden the treasures of wisdom and the knowledge of God. So allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart to show you the path through Jesus to Father God. And ask the Holy Spirit for the grace to have a humble and contrite heart like Jesus and Mary. May you have a blessed and holy Advent and Christmas.